Nearly everyone was singing that. You know, that's a song calling on the Lord, you know. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Open mine eyes. Give me to eat and live with thee above. If you prayed that from the heart, John chapter 6. Don't worry, I'm not going to go through every verse. And yet, if you were hungry enough, if we were hungry enough, we'd say, oh. We live on every word. That's what our Lord said. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Read again with me verses 66 and following. After all that our blessed Lord said, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Where'd they go back to? The world. Their old friends, the things they were once interested in, left for a little while to follow him. They went back. Many. Now this is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the greatest man, most beautiful man ever to live. You can find no fault in him. Nobody could find any fault in him. Find fault in me. This is the greatest preacher that ever preached. No one preached with more love and more compassion, more mercy and more grace and more truth and more kindness and more glory. Nobody. Greatest preacher. No man spake like this man. But many went back. Many. You know, if all the people have come here and gone, were still here, we'd have to meet at the high school in the auditorium. Will someone in here go back, professing Christ and go back? Verse 67, our Lord said to his 12 disciples, will you also go away? And Simon Peter, bless his heart, Simon Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? Lord, you have these are words of life. My life hangs on your word. You are my life. That's what Simon Peter said. Everything you say is I hang on your word. I live on your word. I need your word. I need to hear you. I need to be with you. I need to walk with you. Don't, like Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Your God's my God. Your people's my people. These are words of life, Simon Peter said. We're sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is words of life. Your words of life. Simon Peter has life, doesn't he? He has life. Is that you? I hope so. I believe it's me. I hope so. This is a long chapter, isn't it? The Lord's words, the Lord's works began with the Lord feeding many people. The Lord's fed, feeds everybody. The Lord Jesus Christ feeds everybody. You know, this building ought to be full of people thanking God for him feeding them. Right? It ought to be full. He fed the multitude. All right. Many of these followed him again because they wanted so much more to eat. They didn't come to him that they might have life. They wanted things from him. And he rebuked them. And then the disciples, his chosen disciples, right after that, he put them through deep waters. Remember? Were you with me? He put them through deep waters. They are his chosen disciples. They're with him. They're following him. He's their life. Well, let's see. Let's see if you know who I am. I'm going to put you through deep waters. And he put them all through deep waters. And I know to a man, they were calling on him. They thought, where is he? We're going to die without him. We can't. They rode and rode, and they realized we can't get anywhere without him. Without Him, we can do nothing. If He doesn't come and save us, we're going down. We're going under. We're going to be overcome by this deep, these deep waters of this world. And here He came. Here He came. Is that you? Through the preaching of the gospel, I'll tell you. He came. He spoke to him. Fear not. It is I. It is I. Somebody told me after that message, said that just blessed me so that whatever it is, he said, the Lord said, it is I. That give you peace. Whatever comes your way, whatever you go through, whatever happens in this world, he's the doer of it. It is I. God's people know that. His disciples knew that. Gave them peace. And then he rebuked some for coming to him because of the loaves and physical bread. Physical bread. He said, you follow me because you what you got from me. How about you? I've asked this question. Somebody said to me, it was a real piercing question. Why'd you come here today? How'd you come here today? Why'd you come here? You need Christ? You need to hear Christ? You need to hear His Word? You need to worship Him? You want to worship Him? You want to hear His Word? You want, you need, you desire, you hunger and thirst for His Word? To hear the Word preached, do you? You want to sing these songs? It's what God's people are going to be doing time without end. Singing this song. You know, there was a time that as a young man, I didn't know the Lord, and I'd hear these songs. I remember hearing these songs that I heard as a child, and I kind of thought, I did. Ron, I did. I thought, oh, I don't want to hear that. It pricked my conscience. It pricked my conscience. It's why I cannot preach without telling you my story and without saying, but God. Now I hear these songs. They rejoice my heart. They bring peace to my troubles. Why'd you come here? And then the Lord speaks to everyone. He speaks to the multitude. He speaks to His disciples. He speaks to all of them. He says in verse 27, labor not. That is, work not for these things. Meat is a substance, or whatever it is that you live for. These things perish. Labor not. Work not. Don't spend your whole life for these things that don't endure. But give yourself. Labor for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, for the Son of Man shall give unto you. Not something you work for. It's just given for the asking. Him hath God the Father sealed. Our Lord says, don't spend all your life for things, the things of this life, but for eternal life. Look for eternal life. And He said in verse 63, I am that life. I am. And He says, Him hath God sealed, certified, signed, sealed. Everybody wants things that are pure, you know, certified. Certified this, certified that, signed, sealed, government seal on it, authority in it. Everything in creation is a sign that Christ is. Everything in the creation is proof. God has created it for His glory. The heavens are a tabernacle for the sun. Show everybody's without excuse. And everything in the Bible is a sign, is a picture that Christ is all, that Christ is life, that he that hath the Son hath life. There is no other life except in Christ. Everything in this book is a sign. It's sealed. It's delivered to you. Now throughout this book, throughout this chapter, he talks about he that believeth on the Son. He says, he that cometh to me, he that eateth me. Are you with me? I know I say that a lot. My preacher did. That's where I got that. He says, are you with me? Why? I'm not preaching to the air. I'm preaching to you. I want you with me. Every one of you. I do now. I do. I want you with me. These are words of life, okay? He says, he that believeth on me hath life. He said, he that cometh to me, God drew you. He said, he that eateth me hath life. What's that mean? I want to know. He that believeth on me, not in me. And you've heard people say this. And I was, back when we had horses, this gal I was buying a horse from, she knew I was a preacher, and we were talking, and she said, oh, I believe in God. I see how everybody does. But that's not salvation. It's to believe on Him. Believe on Him. Verse 29, they asked Him, what can we do to get to God? And He said, this is the work of God. This is God's work. You can't work. You can't get there doing anything. He said, this is God's work in you. If God does this work in you, by grace you say through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's a working of His mighty power. If God does this work in you, you know what you'll do? This is the work of God. You'll believe on Him that's in Him. Believe on Him. It's not play on words. It's the truth. Many believe in Him, believe facts, believe His existence. There's some people in this room that believe in the doctrines of grace. They believe in the depravity of man. They believe in the unconditional election of God. They believe in the particular redemption of God. They believe in the irresistible grace of God. They believe in the perseverance of the saint. But that's not salvation. It's to believe on the Son of God. Cast all your sins on the head of the sacrifice. Cast all your care on Him. Have all your hope in Him, and yes, on Him. On Him. Look at verse 35. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 36. He said to some, you've seen me, but believe not. Verse 40. This is the will of God that sent me. Everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. And did you notice how He kept saying, I will raise Him up. I will raise Him up. Didn't He, John? Over and over again. I will raise Him up at the last day. I will raise Him up. From where? Well, He quickens us once, and yes, has to keep quickening us. Has to keep picking us up and raising us up. And when He comes for God's people in that day, he wrote in Luke, when He comes, will He find faith on the earth? Really? Anybody needs Him? Calling on Him like that importunate widow? Yes, He will, a few. And He said, I will raise him up, that person, in the last day. I will raise them up, those that need me, live on me. I am truly their life. I'm going to raise them up, and they're going to be with me forever. What is it to believe on Him? Verse 47, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Well, this is water, right? You believe that's water? You believe what's in this bottle is water? You do, don't you? I need it right now. I'm thirsty. I just believed on the water. I just drank it. I needed it. I have thirst. I'm alive. I'm alive. I don't just believe in it. I've got to have it. And every day I thirst for it, and I live on it. Christ is the water.
Well, bread. You like bread? Anybody? I know everybody's lactose, whatever it is, or intolerant. But I know. Strange day. But bread, I love it. I love it. And you know who's going to eat bread? Really, if you're really hungry, you'll eat bread. You'll believe on it. You'll believe on it. If you're tired, if you're weary, you need rest. That's a bench. I believe that's a bench. That's a bench. I know if you sit there, you'll find rest. I know that. I know that. You know who'll sit on the bench? If you're tired, you'll find rest. So believe on the Son. Believe on the Son. He said, he that believeth on me. He said, he that cometh to me. Look, he says this over and over again. He said to some, you will not come unto me that you might have life. But verse 35, he said in verse 35, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. He that, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. Verse 44, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. In verse 45, he said, every man hath heard and learned of the Father cometh to me. And he said, I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. Over chapter 10. In verse 65, he said, I say unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given him of the Father. Have you come to Christ? Do you believe on the Son? He kept saying that. Do you believe on the Son? All right? Have you come to Christ? What does that mean? Well, to come to Christ is first to believe in Him and believe on Him. You hear of Christ. Faith cometh by hearing. Belief is trust. Belief is confidence. Belief is need. Without Him, I can do nothing. Without Him, I can't be saved. Without Him, I'm unrighteous. Without Him, without Him, without Him. It's to believe on Him. It's to need Him. To come to Him is to hear. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And they come to me. It's proof of life. It's to see. See His glory. See yourself prone to wander in the ditch. See your Savior. It's to call on Him. Call on Him. It's to come to Him. It's like Simon said, life. Your life. You're my life. My bread, my water, my meat, my food. That's what it's to come to Him. It's to need Him. It's to come to Him. It's to come to Christ. Old Brother Scott. Love that old man. He used to say, come to Christ. But don't move a muscle. Don't come down front. He's not down here. He's in heaven. Come to Him. Your heart. Your soul. Come to Him. I tell you, you know what I was praying this morning? I was praying that the Lord would give somebody hunger and thirst for Christ. Somebody doesn't have it. Give them hunger and thirst. And cause them to come to Christ. See their need of Him. He that cometh. And then our Lord kept saying, he that eateth me. Didn't it? And so many heard Him say this, that we don't know what you're talking about. Many said, We don't know, we don't understand what you're talking about. Eat. What do you mean, eat your flesh and blood? Do you? He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath life. Do you? What does it mean to eat Him? You know, there's a saying, a modern saying, that says, eat well, laugh often, love much. You've seen that. If you got it on your wall, well, I don't care what you do. But eat. There's a religious lady that wrote a book, and it's maybe a better, she says, I've got a better handle on this. Eat, pray, and love. And what they're saying by that, eat, 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 is life revolves around eating. Isn't it? The first thing they mention, not pray, but eat. Eat, oh yes, and pray. How do we give thanks? Do we eat first and pray? We pray. We call on the Lord. We thank the Lord for everything, whether He gives us another bite to eat or not. Like that old woman sitting at the table and had a crust of bread. An old woman that knew the Lord sitting there at the table. Nothing, just a little bit of food in her cupboard. And she said, all this and Christ too? He that eateth. You know, life does revolve around food. You know that? Human life, animals and humans live to eat and eat to live. They do. It's proof of life. You can't live without eating. You're not alive if you don't eat. If you don't hunger, you're not alive. Or you're sick or you're going to die. And what a good illustration that is. If someone claims to love Christ and have eaten His flesh and drunk His blood, and their appetite begins to wane, and they no more need to hear this same gospel anymore, this bread of life, something bad wrong here. Maybe they didn't have life to begin with. Right? Right. You see somebody, their appetite, this is the first sign of sickness. One of the first signs, you begin to lose your appetite. And your flesh begins to wane. And then you die. But he that's alive hungers, thirsts, eats, lives on. Eternal life, you see, is living on Jesus Christ. Over in Europe, especially Italy and France, and we were there, and life revolves around the table. You know that? Their whole day revolves around sitting at the table in the evening, mostly, and eating. Everything revolves around that. Their whole day is spent in anticipation of sitting at the table and eating food. Are you with me? Their life is eating. So it is with the child of God. It's just so. Spiritual life revolves around Christ. You don't order your life around the table. I mean, you don't order the table around your life. You order your life around the table. The bread of life. He kept talking about the bread of life. He said, I'm the bread. I'm the bread. The true bread, verse 32. I'm the true bread, verse 33. I'm the bread of God. He said, I'm the bread from heaven. Manna. The children of Israel, when God first sent that manna, all of them said, what is it? And that's what they called it, manna. Boy, they went out that first day when they saw that manna. They went out just, oh man, this is the most wonderful thing. Ooh, look, they're all rejoicing and singing. Look at this manna, manna, manna. Isn't this wonderful? Have you tasted anything like this? No, I haven't. It's wonderful. Next day, ooh, there it is again. Again. What? Same thing. Oh, but it's sweet. It's beautiful. It's glorious. Oh, I love this. 40 years later, He still said to the men, and some of them said, we're tired of this. We're tired of it. Give us something else. And in fact, we want to go back to Egypt for the leeks and the onions. Slime pit? Yeah. True bread, bread of God. Bread is an amazing thing. Bread is an amazing thing. I just marvel at bread, and there's no wonder the Lord used bread as a picture of Himself, isn't it? Bread starts out with what? Seed, corn, wheat, seed, seed of corn, and falls into the ground. That's Christ crucified, buried, risen again. Seed of corn falls in the ground. It grows up as a root out of dry ground. Huh? Has no real form or comeliness. You can't tell what it is until it grows up mature and you say, oh, this is wonderful. Christ grew in wisdom and stature, the fullness of God in Him, all the fullness of God in Him, like a stalk of corn with 1,000 ears on it. Meek and lowly, hanging His head, the corn, ready to harvest. Cut down. The prime of life. Full corn, an ear of corn. Just, you ever take, all have. You've taken an ear of corn off that. Have you ever bitten into raw corn right off the stalk? Sure you have. It just splurred with water. Moisture, it's just life. All those seeds, it's all seed. It's seed. Fullness, fruit. It's food. It's got to be cast in the oven, though. It's got to be ground to powder. Under a wheel, a big millstone. Cast in the oven, under the hand of the baker, the cooker, molded into something wonderful. Wait and see. You're going to wait and you're going to see what this is going to come out by. Cast in the oven, Christ endured the fiery wrath of God, which is going to fall on all mankind. But not on those in Christ. Not on those who hunger and thirst for this burnt offering. Listen to me now. Do you need Christ? All mankind does and doesn't know it. Have no hunger for Him. But those who have life understand, I need a burnt offering. And that bread is cast in the oven. And buddy, when it comes out of that oven, is there anything that smells like that? Is there any food on earth that smells like bread baked out of it, coming out of the oven? Anything? Is there anything that smells, a sweet smelling savor, anything on this earth like Jesus Christ and Him crucified you? Tell me, to you, anything more glorious, anything more wonderful? It has a, if you're hungry, if you're alive, tell it again, preacher. Bake another loaf. I'm 66 years old. Been eating bread since I was born, I guess. Drinking milk anyway. That's Christ. He that eateth my flesh. One time, Mindy used to bake loaf after loaf. Sister Yvonne does now, and others, you do too. And cornbread, Irene's cornbread, man, oh man. Put that in milk, and there ain't nothing on this earth like that. Still eat it, still love it. I remember my dad, cornbread is what Boaz fed Ruth. Anyway, and she fell in love with it. That's a beautiful picture. But I remember my dad taking cornbread. You know, they ate cornbread in the South. And he dipped that cornbread in butter milk. Butter milk. It's all Christ. He put that in butter milk, and I thought, what in the oof? How in the world? And he acted like, there ain't nothing on earth like this. Nothing. And I'd watch him eat that, and I'd want to throw up. You know what's my favorite thing on earth right now? Cornbread and milk. In a minute, I wake up. If she makes it, I wake up in the middle of the night. That's what I'll go for. I'm alive. Hunger for Christ the bread. Do you? Thirst? When He said you'll never hunger again, doesn't mean you'll quit eating. It means you'll never have such an insatiable hunger. You'll never go hungry. That's what that means. You'll never be thirsty like that woman at the well. She was thirsty and been thirsty all her life and didn't know what she's thirsty for. And Christ told her, I'm the one you need to thirst for. And he gave her that thirst. And buddy, when she never did take a drink of that well. And now she's full of him. Is this meeting your need? Is this just preaching Christ? Don't do it. Same old, same old. Same old wonderful truth. Christ. Oh, my bread. He said in verse 47, he said, Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Those believe on me, they live on me. They live on me. They love me. They love to eat. Verse 53 said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now in verse 55, my flesh is meat indeed. He that liveth, verse 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. I told you earlier that, you know, in Europe, life revolves around the table, coming to the table. Well, for the child of God, life revolves around coming to the table. Really did. Tell me, really did. You know, when you're young people, teenagers especially, you practically have to beg them to come to the table. They're doing other things. Right? You're out there playing. I remember, come to eat. Supper's ready. What will bring them to the table? Hunger. But, all right, they come to the table, and do they eat for the love of the food? No, their bellies are empty. They've got to get their belly full. What have they got their mind on? Can't wait to get away from this table and go outside and play. Is that right? Do they thank the cook? Never give mom a thought. All those meals she prepared. All those meals. God has fed us all our day. Most people don't give it a thought. Never give it a thought. Do they talk about the food? Do young people talk about the food? Huh? Wasn't that good? Ooh, Mom, what's in that? No. Look at the hope. They went up and gone. Let me out of here. The older you get, if you become mature, you know what you look forward to? Sitting at the table. And you know what you're thinking the whole time when somebody's feeding you? My mom did this for me all those days. And I was ungrateful. Here, this man preached all these messages to me, and I was ungrateful. And then you love the taste of it. And you eat it. And you think, this is the best. Oh, this is wonderful. And you know what you do? You loathe to leave the table. The older you get, you loathe to leave the table. You want to sit there. What are you going to talk about? It's food. Isn't that wonderful? That's those who love the gospel. Some can't wait to leave. Others don't want to leave. And we talk about Christ. Talk about Christ. That's life. Christ is your life. So our Lord said to Simon Peter and the rest of them, he said, will you go away? Will you? To whom? To whom? Simon Peter had a wife. John and James had homes. They all had homes. Maybe wives and children. You know, you never hear them talking about them. Ever. Have you ever heard Peter talk about his children? Did he ever talk about his wife? John, James, did they? Talk about their house? Anything? Their boats? Did they? Was that their conversation? What was their conversation? Christ. Why? He's their life. It's like they weren't married. It's like they didn't have any family but him. It's true. And they all said, we won't go away. And one of them was the devil. You know what we all ought to be saying? Every one of them, to a man. Is it I? Oh, Lord, don't let me go away. Don't let me go. I need you. Whosoever calls, you say. Oh, Lord, I urge one of you young people, or old for that matter, to call on the Lord and ask him this. Ask him that. Lord, say, Lord, give me a need for you.